Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Conscious Love Show. Really excited to have you back here this week. I want to tell you about something real fast before we begin. On March 20th, I am working with a dear friend and one of my coaches and mentors. Her name is Liz Haber Zambrano, and we're going to be leading a workshop called Polarity, where we explore the complex dynamics of masculine and feminine energy and how they work together to create incredibly deep and intimate and connected and passionate and beautiful, loving, conscious relationships. So this is going to be a powerful workshop. I'm really excited to dive into this topic. Liz is a master of this conversation. I'm really excited to have her there with us exploring this. It's going to be profound. It's going to be powerful. One night only. It's absolutely free, but don't miss your chance to join. So if you're interested, check the description under this podcast. I'm going to leave the details to sign up, and we'll see you there on March 20th. Lots of love, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Conscious Love Show. Whether you are single, you are in a relationship, or you're healing a broken heart, this show is here to inspire you, to remind you how beautiful, lovable, and amazing you truly are, and to give you the practical tools and insights to navigate from wherever you are right now to the loving relationship that you so deeply want to have. My name is Shane Kohler. I'm a certified transformational coach and trainer with over a decade experience helping people release their trauma and open their hearts to love. I've delivered seminars all over the world, coached thousands of people through my online platforms and programs, and every week I'm coming straight to you with the hottest insights and the best teachers around, bringing you powerful resources and profound conversations to heal your relationship with love, dating, and yourself. I'm so grateful you're here, and if it's your first time, welcome. You can count on me to always show up for you with my very best and a commitment to learn and grow myself so I can serve you to my maximum ability. Thanks so much for tuning into the show. I've got some awesome things planned for you today. So without further ado, let's dive in. Welcome back to another episode of the Conscious Love Show podcast. Shane Kohler here. Pleasure to be with you today. Welcome back to the show. And today I want to talk about how our pain and our grief actually creates a window for healing. I've been reflecting recently on some of my own relational experiences, you know, going back through my past and some of the things I've been through and how they've impacted me and helped me to understand myself, helped me to grow, and how they've propelled my journey. And, you know, I always like when I'm working with clients or when I'm running programs, like I always look at it from this lens of like using the challenges on the journey to act as like a trampoline or a catapult to propel us forward in our journey. And so many of us, and I even see this among healers, right? And it's very concerning for me when I see this among healers. There's a tendency to try to push away the suffering or avoid the suffering or hide from the suffering. And, you know, again, especially when I see like a therapist or a coach guiding someone in this way, it's very, very concerning for me because the healing actually happens as we move through the suffering, right? The healing actually happens as we open ourselves up to the suffering. We allow the suffering to really penetrate our hearts. It creates a kind of transformation. And so today I wanted to share a little bit about how that works, how that transformation actually takes place, because the fact is, it doesn't matter who you are. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. It doesn't matter if you're single or married or widowed or whatever. Like, it really does not matter what your situation is. The simple fact is that you are going to experience challenge in your life. There's no way around it. You are going to experience hardship. You're going to suffer at times. You're going to have pain. And your relationship status doesn't change that, right? It just doesn't. Like, if you're married, you're going to have pain. If you're single, you're going to have pain. Like, it doesn't change it. Like, we will all confront challenge and suffering in our life. And our ability to move through that challenge and that suffering consciously and aware, like, with a clear understanding of what we're doing and why we're doing it and how we're doing it, will actually create an evolution that will transform your entire life. But when you dig your heels in to the suffering, when you fight the suffering, when you don't open yourself up to it, when you don't allow it to penetrate your heart, all of your dysfunction, whatever that might be, your attachment, you know, dysfunction, your abandonment dysfunction, your fear of intimacy or relationship, or like whatever that dysfunction is, when you dig your heels in around the suffering and you don't allow it to really touch you, that dysfunction or that neuroses is only going to become worse. Basically, every time your pain or your trauma or your suffering is reactivated, it's an opportunity to heal that. But if you choose not to, if you're not able to go into that and open yourself up to the healing opportunity that is taking place, then what's going to happen is you're going to double down on all the habits and patterns and, again, dysfunctions and neuroses that you originally had. You're going to double down on them. You're going to solidify them. You're going to reinforce the trauma. It's going to become stronger. It's going to act out more heavily. And so I want to share a little bit about this journey of really opening ourselves up to the suffering of life and allowing it to penetrate our hearts and create a transformation or an evolution inside of us. And as I was thinking about today's episode, I really thought about the two heartbreaks in my life that, like I'd say in my life, I have had two devastating heartbreaks. If you count the death of my grandmother, then that would be three. But in terms of like romantic relationships, I've had two heartbreaks that were pretty devastating for me. And because of where I was in my life at each time, with the first one, I was not able to open myself up to it. And what that did was it created almost 10 years. It created a long time, maybe like 8 years of just reinforcing all my neuroses, becoming more toxic, becoming more damaged, like becoming more dysfunctional in relationships. And then when I experienced that second heartbreak, I was in a different place. I was in a healing community. I was getting coaching. I had exposure to, you know, healing work and somatic work and different things that I was doing. And so because of where I was in my life, when I experienced that second heartbreak, I was able to really open myself up to it. And that was the period of time when I experienced some of the most profound transformation in my life that ultimately set the stage for me to be where I am today. And I really think, you know, the first heartbreak kind of drove me into darkness and the second heartbreak kind of brought me back out of it. And so I want to talk about what that was like, what that journey was like. And the first heartbreak I've shared about many times here, right? I mean, I've spoken about this many times on the podcast. It was one of the most life-defining experiences I've ever been through. And it was when I was 16 years old, I fell in love with my high school sweetheart. We were together for about a year. She cheated on me, broke my heart. I mean, I've told this story so many times, I don't feel like I need to go into it. I know some of you haven't heard it, but I've told this story so many times. But it was like, I mean, I think what was so profound about that heartbreak for me was that my world was so dark. Like I had left my mother a few years before that to move in with my father. And I was living with like an alcoholic, drug addict, narcissist father. I was experiencing a lot of like pretty heavy abuse, but I didn't even really realize it because I was a kid. I didn't know, right? And I mean, my life was so dark. And this person, my high school sweetheart, was the only bright thing in my life. And when she left, you know, she was like the ray of hope that I was holding on to. She was like the thing in my life that made me feel like everything was going to be okay, that made me feel like, you know, there was something good in my life. And when she left, and you know, the way she left didn't help is that she cheated on me and, you know, all of that. But when she left, it was like the only good thing in my life was leaving. And I felt like I had no hope, nothing good to hold on to, nothing positive, nothing safe, nothing loving, nothing warm, right? I just had this harsh father and this harsh, cold reality, and I was all alone in it. And because of that, and especially when I found out that she was with someone else and she was cheating, and I went into a very, very dark place that lasted for very, very many years. And, you know, I think it ultimately, like, this was like the start of my destructive path where I went heavily into drugs. I ultimately ended up in jail. I mean, this was like the start of my destructive path was when we broke up. And what I did, and I think it's really important for me to talk about what I did with the breakup. And it's not what the breakup did to me. It's what I did with the breakup. It's how I internalized it. And I resented her. I mean, I hated her. Like, I hated her guts. I just, like, how could she do this to me? I thought it was just the, like, worst fucking thing anybody could ever do. And to a large degree, like, I extended that to all women. Like, just women are the worst. You can't trust them. They're lying. They're manipulative. I mean, I just went all out with it. And it was even more than that, because it was like an existential thing that applied to every facet of life. Not only can I not trust her or trust women, I can't trust anyone. In fact, I was a fool to ever trust at all. And nobody is ever going to get me like that again. And I'm going to have the upper hand. I'm never going to let myself be taken advantage of, right? So, like, if you see what's happening here, it's like all of whatever trauma I had had up until that point in my life, you know, from my mother, from my father, from everything I'd been through, like all the trauma I had had up until that point in my life, whatever wasn't solidified, at that point it became solidified. Whatever wasn't concrete, at that point it became concrete, right? At that point, I doubled down on all of it. I dug my heels in. I won't trust anyone. I'll never let anyone get the upper hand. I'll never open myself up to anyone like that again. I was a fool. It's like, you know, just all of it. I went all out with it. And that perspective, that certain viewpoint of life became my identity. And that defined my life for, like I said, for like the next 8 years, really. And maybe, you know, maybe after 4 or 5 years, it started to lighten up a little bit as I started to outgrow it. But, you know, it was some dark years. Like I said, that started my descent into drug addiction. It started my descent into what ultimately led me to jail. And I'll fast forward a little bit now to when I was in my mid-20s and I experienced my second heartbreak. And so in this period of time between, you know, being 16 years old and being in my mid-20s and, you know, my first and my second heartbreak, I went through a lot. And I had a handful of relationships and none of them were very good. I mean, they were all pretty toxic. Sometimes I was more toxic. Sometimes the other person was more toxic, but they were all a mess. Like, there was nothing positive happening in terms of relationships in those years. But some positive things did happen during those years. I got sober during those years. I got into AA. I got a sponsor in AA and I worked with him. I started sponsoring other people. I got into some transformational training programs and I started working with coaches and I started doing somatic healing. And so during, you know, I'd say from the time I got out of jail, which I was 20 years old when I got out of jail, and from that time up until the second heartbreak, which I was about 25, there was this window where I was opening up, I was growing, I was starting to release some of the trauma that I had been carrying with me. And so when I was in my mid-20s, I met this woman. She was married, she's a little bit older than me. And, you know, against my better judgment, right? Like, I mean, we all know it's not good advice to get involved with a married person. But against my better judgment, I decided to anyway. And the reason I decided to, and I think this is so important to how this all comes together, is the reason I decided to explore this relationship with her was because of how amazing I thought she was. And it's like, you know, well, yeah, I shouldn't really date a married person, but, you know, like, she's so amazing. And a woman of this quality, a woman of this caliber, has never, ever been interested in someone like me, right? So I would have to be a fool to pass up on this opportunity just because she's married, right? Like, maybe she'll leave her husband. Maybe she'll be with me. Like, these were the fantasies I was living in. Now, and I think it's important to say here too, like, my thinking was not clear. Like, this, I was still largely informed by my trauma. Like, if we look at what's going on in my mind here, what am I doing? I'm compromising my principles. I'm compromising my values. I'm compromising my integrity. And why am I doing it? To get the love and approval of someone I have up on a pedestal? Right? Like, the truth is, she's just equal. She's just the same as everyone else. She might have unique things that about her that are amazing, and I'm not denying that. But it was me who lifted her up on this pedestal. It was me who made her worthy of compromising my own principles and my own values and my own integrity. And I only did that because I was being informed by my trauma, by my feelings of unworthiness, right? See, I'm still operating in the identity of the guy who wasn't good enough for my high school girlfriend, who she cheated on me, right? So I'm still operating in this wounded identity of this guy who wasn't good enough for the 16-year-old girl. And now for the first time in my life, a woman that I think is amazing wants something to do with me. Yes, that's enough to sell out my principles, my values, and my integrity. Let's do it. So that's where I'm coming from when I enter into this relationship. And I just want to say, because I know some of you listening right now, whether you're live with me today, whether you're hearing this on the podcast, some of you may be in a similar position. Like, I talk to people all the time who date married people, and I've been there, right? And I want to say that any relationship that starts from that position, any relationship that starts with you compromising your values, your principles, your integrity is not going to end well. And I think it's really important to say that here, because this is what I learned. But continuing on, this relationship was very short-lived. It lasted for about a month. And then, you know, it was just kind of like out of nowhere, blindsided me. She calls me up, cuts the whole thing off. She didn't completely ghost me, but she just like went dark, went cold. I mean, if I tried to talk to her, she would talk to me, but she just was like dark and cold and like just cut it off. And despite that it was short-lived, despite that it didn't last very long, it was devastating, this breakup. It was devastating for me. And I want everyone to really understand why this was devastating, because there's something here that will reveal so much for all of us. You see, I wasn't in love with her. She wasn't the one for me. I mean, she wasn't even a good option. But the reason this relationship was so devastating for me was because I dropped on this relationship all the pressure of my past, all the rejection and all the unfulfilled hopes and dreams and everything I thought had been deprived of me in the past. And, you know, again, like when my high school girlfriend left me and all the relationships that had failed up until that point and all the love that I wanted and felt deprived of and felt like I couldn't have or wasn't worthy of, I laid all of that on her. And I didn't say this to her, but energetically what I did was I said, she's going to solve it. Here's my traumatic past of unworthiness and pain and suffering and loss. And now here's this amazing woman who wants something to do with me. And if she will love me, it will make up for all the pain of all these years and all the suffering and all the loss and everything I've missed out on. Now, one, that's a lot to put on any relationship, which we all do, by the way. And I want to say that because I want to bring awareness to that, is that is what we do. And one of the things we need to do is stop doing that, because that's too much to put on anyone. That's too much to put on any relationship, especially one like that that has a very small likelihood of working out. So when she ended it, what happened for me was all of that hope and faith and belief that I had put in this relationship, that it was going to validate me, that it was going to prove to me that I was enough, that it was going to make me feel worthy, it was going to make me feel loved, like all of that, I mean, ultimately it wasn't enough, right? It didn't do the job. Like, she left, she wasn't able to do that. And so I was forced to be with all of those feelings. She wasn't there to rescue me from them, right? I was just forced to really be with that. And this is the gift. This is the gift in all of this, is that she had brought up all of that. Now, she wasn't the answer to it. She wasn't the solution to it. You see, I wanted her to be the solution to it. I wanted her to be the answer. I wanted her to fix it. I wanted her to make it all better. Like, all the pain of my past, I wanted her to make it better. And she wasn't the solution to it, but she was the person to bring it all from the background to the foreground. She was the person to bring it all forward, to bring it to the surface, to allow myself to see it in myself. And then she walked away and she left me with it. And what a gift. What a gift. Now, see, a lot of you, some of you are in that position right now. and you're saying it doesn't feel like a gift. And a lot of you have been through that position. You're saying, well, it didn't feel like a gift when I went through it. But it is a gift. It is a gift because you see what she left me in when she left me heartbroken, what she left me in was the prime opportunity to heal. I feel completely unworthy. I feel heartbroken. I feel devastated. Okay, great. Now what's happened is all the stuff that is inside of me all the time, that's informing all my thoughts and all my feelings and all my decisions, it's already there anyway. But 90% of the time, 99% of the time, it's repressed. It's being pushed down. It's being shoved to the back where I don't see it. I don't think about it. I don't have to deal with it because it's uncomfortable and it has a lot of shame and I don't like it. And so day to day, I push that stuff aside. I push it away. I don't deal with it. I'm not open to it. But now she has brought it all to the surface and now walked away and left me dealing with it. And the interesting thing is that, and I don't even necessarily know why this is, but I know you've been through this too. When someone leaves you like that, you can't just push it all right back down. It's out. And it takes a while for it to go away. It's like they say, time heals the heart. Right? Like it takes a while for your ego to rebuild itself around all of that pain and suffering and put it all back into its place so you feel in control again. And most of us hate that. Most of us say, I just want to stop feeling this. I just want it to go away. We don't see the gift that that is. Because it has come up in order to be healed, arguably, from a spiritual or a soul level. We might say that I had a contract or I had an agreement with that person for us to share this experience together for our mutual healing. Now, I don't know what it meant to her. I don't know how she internalized it or how she carried it forward in her life. I only know what it meant to me. And what I know from my own experience of the situation is that she came into my life at the exact time and we had the exact relationship I needed for the exact amount of time that relationship needed to last for all of this stuff to be opened up. And then when her job was done, she walked away so she could leave me with this and I could do my own healing around it. And I'd say it was about like 6 months. It was like a solid 6 months of me really grieving this loss when she left. Like it did not go away quickly. It did not go away easily. It was a sensitive time. It was tough. And there was 6 months of me grieving this loss and me noticing my feelings around it, me noticing what was coming up for me, me getting coaching on it, me talking to someone about what was happening for me, me asking myself the difficult questions of, like, what do I really think I'm worth? And like, do I think I could really have someone like this in my life? You know, like, okay, it didn't work out with her, but someone of that quality, someone of that caliber, someone that I will see in that way that I will think, oh my God, this person is just amazing. Like, do I really believe that I could share my life with someone like that? Do I really believe that someone like that could ever want me? And I did a lot of somatic healing during that time. I did a lot of breath work. Right? I was like throwing myself in deep into these transformational and healing experiences. And I was working with what was fresh for me. I was working with what she had left in this open space. And what I want to tell you is transformation happened quickly in that environment. It happened very, very quickly. And like, I don't want to say it happened easily. I struggled through it. It wasn't an easy time in my life. Like it was a hard time in my life. It was a scary time in my life. It was a challenging time in my life. But all I had to do was say yes to it, right? Like that's the thing. All I had to do was say yes to it. All I had to do was not resist the experience, not fight against the experience, just literally be willing to allow it to be there and to work with it. To move through it. And that was the gift that it was. And so as I'm talking about this today, I'm reminded of a Rumi quote, if any of you know the poet Rumi. And he says, the wound is where the light enters you. And if we can really, like, if we can really let that in, that the wound is where the light enters us. And if we can really recognize that wherever we are wounded in our life, that is actually our opportunity for healing. You see, one of the biggest, I think, misconceptions about life in general is that the world is here for our happiness. And it's really not. I mean, like, and this is a relatively new idea. I mean, like, if you look at historically, like the generations and generations and generations that came before us, like people were not living for happiness. They were living for survival, right? They were literally just trying to survive their lives. And we live in this age now, and especially in, you know, more modern countries, I don't even think it's like this everywhere in the world, but in more modern countries, we live in this age where we have a lot of comforts, we have a lot of access to a lot of things, we have entertainment, we have different things. And it has led us to a kind of narcissistic thinking. And I'm not saying that we're all narcissists, but what I'm saying is culturally, there's a certain narcissism woven into our culture where we think like the world is here to make us happy. And then any time in our life, our circumstances are not making us happy, we automatically assume that something is wrong. That either there's something wrong with me, or that I did something wrong, or that somebody else did something wrong, or we want to blame somebody for the fact that like things aren't working out for me. And it's such a narrow perspective to think that the world is here for our happiness. And the truth that I've come to in my own personal journey of life is that the world is not here for my happiness. The world is here for my growth. And here's the paradox: is the more I grow, the happier I can be. But I can only be happier by accepting that I will sometimes be unhappy. You see, I only become happier, I only become more joyful, I only become more confident and more powerful by being able to integrate the parts of myself that are not happy and joyful and confident and powerful. You see, that's the paradox here. The world is not here to make us happy, but the world is here to provide an environment that we can grow. The world is here to act as a mirror, as a reflection, to reflect ourselves back to us. And we work with that mirror. We work with that reflection in order to grow. And so I just want to talk about some of the things that some of you might be going through right now, because I've shared how it's applied in my life. And I want to talk about, you know, some of the things that might be happening for you and how it might be applied to your life. So some of you may be in a situation right now, and I say maybe, I'm pretty confident some of you are in this situation, where you're involved with someone and you don't really know where it's going, right? Like you're involved with someone and like you hope it's going to go somewhere, but you don't really know, and you're trying to figure it out and you're navigating and you're living in this kind of gray area with the person. And sometimes this person does things that make you really excited. Sometimes this person does things that are disappointing to you. Sometimes they're very attentive and available. Sometimes they're hard to get a hold of, right? And different people might be going through different things here. But you want to start to pay attention to, what is this experience revealing about you, right? Like, what is this person bringing up within you? And it's so crazy. Like, you know, we think when we start dating someone, and look, like I did this and we all do it, and it's hard not to do it, but the more aware you can be of this, the more successful you're going to be. Let me put it that way. And, you know, when we start dating someone, like we naturally kind of operate from the assumption that what is supposed to happen as we're supposed to grow deeper and deeper in relationship with this person, we're supposed to become more and more attracted to each other, we should fall in love and eventually live happily ever after. Like when we start dating someone, we think that is what is supposed to happen. And I just want to offer you the idea, what if that is not always what is supposed to happen? What if the success of that relationship, the actual full, like, if you think about when you start dating someone, you don't know this person, right? And now you're going to take this relationship with this person from not knowing them to its fullest possible expression. And what if the fullest possible expression of that relationship is not that you end up together and live happily ever after, but maybe the fullest possible expression of that relationship is that you'll go on a few dates, you'll get a sense of who each other are, you'll have incredible respect for each other while also recognizing that there is not a lot of attraction there, and you will wish the absolute best for each other and joyfully send each other on their way. What if that is the maximum possible expression for that relationship? And to win in that relationship, you got to take it there. If you try to take it anywhere else, you're losing. But you see, when we operate from the assumption, oh, we're supposed to grow deeper and deeper in connection with each other. We're supposed to fall in love. They're supposed to want me, right? When you operate from that assumption and you start forcing that agenda on the relationship, well, what are you doing? Like, let's look at what you're actually doing. You're hiding from your own trauma. Do you see that? Because if you were to let that relationship move into its actual full true expression, which is for you to go your separate ways, for you to let this person go their separate way, that is going to bring up trauma inside of you. Because you have a, based on your trauma, based on your history, based on the way you think and feel about relationships, you feel that if somebody doesn't want to be with me, that means I'm not good enough. That means I'm unlovable. That means I'm not attractive. That means I'm not sexy. That means nobody wants me. And based on that traumatic view and filter and experience of relationships, you now cannot allow that relationship to become its maximum expression. So you have to try to force it to be something that it doesn't want to be. If the person goes along with it, you're going to hurt both of you. If the person doesn't go along with it, you're just going to hurt yourself. But at the end of the day, you're hurting. And when you allow that kind of trauma-informed response to take over and start to call the shots and make the decisions, then what happens is you're now digging your heels in. And you're reinforcing the trauma. You're feeding the trauma. You're making it more real. You're making it bigger. You see, the fear was they're going to leave. And if they leave, that means I'm not good enough. And then you said, oh, well, if they leave, that means I'm not good enough. That means I can't let them leave. I have to keep them. And so you start working to keep them. And the more you work to keep them, the more they slip away. And the more they slip away, the harder you try to keep them. And the more and it just goes on and on and on. And then ultimately they break away and you're left, I knew it. I knew I was worthless. I knew I was unlovable. I knew nobody ever wanted me. Now, going back to what I was talking about earlier, this person has left you in that experience. Right? You tried to hang on to them. You tried to make it become something it wasn't. You tried to force the relationship against its natural expression. It didn't work out. That person goes their own way. And now you are left feeling your trauma. You are left more present than you have ever been before to your trauma, to the narrative, the internal narratives, the conversations. Why don't they want me? What's wrong with me? Will anybody ever love me? Am I going to be alone my whole life, right? Like, these are all your trauma-informed narratives. This is your trauma-informed identity, right? But now it's not repressed. It's not operating in the background where it can't be seen or worked with. Now it's right in front of your face, right? It's here, it's present. You can see it, you feel it, it's alive. Now what do? You get yourself into some kind of healing environment. You get into therapy, you get into a program, you join us in Inspired Love. You get into some kind of healing environment where you can work with this in a real and conscious way. Because if you don't, here's what's going to happen. You're going to grieve for a period of time. You're gonna feel all of these things. You're gonna think all of these things. You're gonna hate yourself. You're gonna doubt yourself. You're gonna loathe yourself. You're gonna be afraid. You're gonna wonder if it's ever gonna happen. You're gonna wonder why you're not enough. You're just gonna drown in this for a period of time. And while you're drowning in this, little by little, your ego is gonna start putting itself back together and strengthening itself and putting all the pieces back in their place and pushing those thoughts back down inside of you where they can't be seen. And then within 6 months, within a year, you will have mostly moved on from it and you will mostly feel like yourself again. But all that trauma that led you into this experience in the first place is now stronger than it's ever been. That internal narrative of self-loathing and self-hate and not enough and nobody will ever love me, that internal narrative is now more alive than it has ever been before. Because rather than taking the opportunity you were given to heal that, rather than leaning into your spirit or your soul, you leaned into your ego. Rather than letting your ego die, you brought it back to life. And now your life will continue to be a reflection of your ego's designs, which are always limiting, which are always unfulfilling. If we go back to the experience where, okay, you forced and tried and bargained and everything you could do to try to keep this person in your life, but they left anyway. If we go back to that moment and let's say you did get into some kind of healing environment. Let's say you found somebody to work with or some kind of group or environment that could help you work through this in a really meaningful way, that could help you empower yourself through this experience. Well, what's going to happen then? What's going to happen is your ego is going to go through a death. And this is actually what grief is. Like, the feelings of grief, and grief is like one of the most painful experiences because like grief is like dying while you're still alive. That's really what it is. Like grief is the identity dying while the body stays alive. That's why it's so painful, right? Like I remember the first time I experienced grief, I was 11 years old. It was when my grandmother died. And my grandma, like I was even like closer to my grandma than my mom. Like my grandma was like my best friend. She was I loved my grandma so much. And when I was 11 years old, my grandma died. Like it was the first time I experienced real grief. And what happens when you experience grief, like there was a version of me that had always had my grandma around from the time I was born. Like my grandma had been my best friend my whole life. From the time I was born, my grandma had always been there. I did not know reality without my grandma being a part of it. That had never existed for me. I did not know who I was without my grandma. I didn't know. Because as far as I knew, my identity always included a relationship with my grandmother. And then she died. And now when my grandma dies, the part of me that had spent my entire life from the time I was born having a relationship with my grandmother can no longer exist. Like, this is an existential crisis when this happens. A part of me that has been real my entire life is no longer real. Like, that is incredibly painful. And so a part of me had to die, right? Like, a part of me had to die. The part of me that had a relationship with my grandmother, now maybe the new me can have a new relationship with my grandmother in a spiritual sense, but a physical relationship with my grandmother, right? Like that's gone. And that part of me had to die so that a new me could be born. And it's the same thing when we go through a breakup. It's the same thing when we go through a divorce. It's the same thing when our partner dies. It's the same thing even when we get rejected or when we're just dating someone and we get our hopes up and we start to, like, you got to understand, even if you've been dating someone for a couple of months or even a couple of weeks, especially if you're someone who is oriented in a way to place a lot of your value on someone else's interest in you. And a lot of us are oriented that way. We learn that in childhood, right? It's not wrong. It's just something we develop. But if you are oriented in a way where you place a lot of your own personal value on someone else's attraction or attention to you, well, then even if you've been dating them for, like, let's say you've been dating someone for 3 weeks, you've been on a few dates with them, but you've been for 3 weeks in a kind of thinking space around what's going to happen with them. I really like them. I hope they like me, right? You're already basing a lot of your identity in their view and thought and opinion about you. And again, I'm not saying you're wrong for doing that, but you just need to be aware of what's happening and aware of the consequences and how this all works. Because if that relationship doesn't work out, then what happens is, even though it's only been 3 weeks, like, you're going to grieve, right? I shared earlier about the married woman I dated when I was 25. It was like, we're only dating for a month, but it was one of the most devastating breakups of my life. Why? Because in that 30 days that we spent together, I had come to identify as someone she was attracted to. And that made me feel really good. When she decides to end it with me, the me that I know myself to be, the young man that she is attracted to, can no longer exist, right? That part of me has to die. And I was very attached to that part of me because that was the most worthy I had felt in a long time. And so it was really painful to let that part of me die. But this is the amazing thing. You know, I had a client, and you want to talk about going through some tough shit. Like, let's talk about some tough shit for a minute. This was a client I had. She had found out that her husband was living a double life. He had all these relationships with, like, strippers and prostitutes. He would go out of town and, like, have these orgies and stuff. And then when she found out, she divorced him. And then shortly after she divorced him, he killed himself. And now she's dealing with, like, one, just grieving her marriage, two, grieving his death that he killed himself, three, dealing with her daughter who's grieving the death of her father. Like, I mean, talk about, like, I can't even imagine. Like, I have never been through anything that hard in my life. I can't even imagine what it's like to go through something like that. Like, I'm getting emotional just, like, thinking about it. And what I said to her, she said, I feel like I'm dying. And I said to her, I said, you are. I said, the you that has been with your husband and lived through all these years and all these things, that you is dying. And what is being born is a you that you've never known before. And if you can allow that death to happen, and I said this to her, but I'm also saying this to you, if you can allow that death to happen, what will emerge from that death is a new version of you, more extraordinary in every way than you've ever known before. It's magical. This is the analogy of the phoenix rising from the ashes, right? It's like when everything that you were is burned up, when everything that you were is burned up and there's nothing of it left, but you still remain, right? Like, think about if your whole identity was burned up, everything that you think you are today in this moment, everything that you believe yourself to be today in this moment, if all of it was burned up, but you still existed, your body was still here, what do you think would come through? What do you think would come through? Like, it's just a really interesting question to imagine. Like, if everything you think you are dissipated, what would come through you after that? Who would you become in the absence of that old identity? My friends, I want you to hear me. Grief is the only way to burn up that old identity. Pain and suffering is the only way to burn up that old identity. It's the only way we can do it. It just doesn't happen otherwise. You see, I remember when my wife was going through cancer treatment, and I've shared a lot about our journey with that. It was the most challenging thing either of us have ever been through. And that was actually when I got into therapy. I'd spent years working with coaches. I'd worked with some of the best coaches in the world, but I'd never really worked with therapists. And during her cancer journey was when I got into therapy for the first time. And I found this amazing therapist. His name's David Tannenbaum. If anybody wants his info, I'll send it to you because he's amazing. He's a really good therapist. And I've come to find that good therapists are not always easy to find. So I have a good one if someone wants his info. But he told me that he told me to listen to Eckhart Tolle's podcast because he thought that it would be very pertinent for what I was going through dealing with this, you know, major life situation we were going through. And I had never really heard this conversation that I'm talking about now discussed like this until I heard Eckhart Tolle's podcast. That was the first time I really heard somebody talk about it like this. And what he said was, he's like, you think you'll grow when you're happy, but you won't. He's like, if you went on vacation right now, like if you just went to some beautiful place where you're just around all the people you love to be around and you're eating amazing food and you're getting massaged and you're swimming in the pool and it's sunny out and you're just laying in the sun and you feel great. He's like, you wouldn't grow. He's like, you would just go to sleep. All you would do is just go to sleep and just be indulgent in pleasure. Because nobody grows in that environment. Nobody grows when things are good. We grow through challenge. In fact, challenge is the mechanism that life itself offers us that forces our growth. If you look at nature, if you look at every plant, tree, animal, blade of grass, every single thing in nature experiences challenge. It's a challenge for that bud to push out of that seed and up through the soil and sprout. Like that is challenge. That is struggle. That is like that seed bringing all of its energy and with all of its force pushing upward towards the sun to finally like expand itself and become something. That is challenge. That is the way nature is. That is the way life is. And that is the way we are. And yet because of the way our egos have developed, we have come to think that challenge is a mistake, that when we confront challenge in life, that something has gone wrong. And the message for today, if I'm to sum it up very simply, it is to embrace the challenge in life. Because the challenge, the wound, going back to the Rumi quote, the wound is where the light enters you. Whenever you're suffering, whenever you're in pain, whenever you're questioning your worthiness, or you're questioning what's possible for you, or you're questioning if it'll ever happen, or if you're enough, or, you know, whenever you feel small and little and just like you can't do it, or like whenever you feel that, like you've got to understand that is life challenging you. The same way that that seed has to push itself through the soil to finally sprout into the sun. That is life challenging you. Like imagine yourself actually pushing up through your own soil, trying to sprout. That's what's happening. And rather than going, oh my God, it shouldn't be this way. Why couldn't they just love me? Why couldn't they? Like, because if you resist the challenge, you're not going to get the benefit of it. If you resist the challenge, you're going to double down. You're going to dig your heels in. Your ego is going to restructure itself and your trauma and your dysfunction and your neuroses is going to be more active than ever. Because, and the reason for that is, I want to say this, the reason for that is because when you push the grief back down like that, the fear of it is even more real. Like when you push it back down, like you're holding it in your body and your resistance to it becomes more real. The fear around it becomes more real. The resistance to letting yourself experience this becomes more real. Like the thing is you are infinite. Like it, you can't get to the bottom of you. It is endless depths. And the more layers of your ego that you shed, the more beauty and radiance comes through. It is just infinite depth inside of you. Like you, like, yes, your physical body can die, but who you are cannot die. And as long as your physical body continues to exist in this world, you will just bring through more and more and more and more and more of yourself. And this is like, this is the most beautiful thing about it, is when you really, like when you really start to lose that attachment to trying to preserve your ego, and you can just get comfortable letting it die again and again and again and again, what happens is you start to really know yourself. And what you see is so like breathtakingly beautiful. It's like when the layers of the ego just die and die and die, and you just start seeing more and more of yourself coming through, like you lose all your fear because you're just like, it doesn't matter. Like, I'm just going to get hurt and then I'm going to get better and then I'm going to feel good again. Life is just going to go on. Like you lose this resistance to the experiences of life and you just move through it. And it becomes like all the challenge of life just becomes like sharpening your blade. Just fine tuning, just shedding those inauthentic layers that limit the intimacy and the connection, the vibrance and the joy and the passion that you could live with. You see, you've got to understand that the only thing limiting who you are, the fullness of who you are, is your fear. My wife was in a women's workshop this weekend, and I want to share this because I know so much of the audience are women. So many of the listeners are women. And my wife was in this women's workshop this weekend, and she shared this. The facilitator said that women cannot be authentically fully expressed until they feel safe. Right? Like for women especially, safety is a prerequisite to authentic expression. And then the question becomes, especially for women, because I know like women more so than men struggle to feel safe in this world. And that's because of men. It's because men put women in danger, right? And so the question becomes, especially for a woman, how do you feel safe in this world? How do you feel safe? And it's a catch-22 because how do you feel safe in the midst of danger? And the only way I found, and I think this is true for both men and women, I do, but I think women have a much more acute experience of it because, again, they are endangered by men, right? But the way that you feel safe is by letting go of your resistance to the experiences of life. It's by developing the courage and the willingness to go through whatever may come your way. And I'm not suggesting in any way that you subject yourself to abuse or poor treatment. Like, I'm very much about having clear boundaries and high standards and knowing what you want and asking for what you want and walking away when you don't get it, right? Those are the practical steps to create safety in your life, right? You have clear boundaries, you have high standards, you know what you want, you ask for what you want, right? Those are the practical steps to creating safety in your life. But you've also got to understand that that's not foolproof. Even with boundaries, even with standards, you will sometimes get hurt. And so the only way to really feel safe in life is to open up your heart and be willing to experience all of it. You feel safe the moment you stop trying to protect yourself. And again, especially for the ladies, I'm not suggesting that you don't protect your physical, mental, and emotional well-being to a reasonable degree. But at some point, you've got to also be willing to step into territory that may cause pain. And it's in the realization that you can feel that pain and you can heal from it and you can move forward, that you overcome your fear. You see, I've said this many times, but I want to say it again. It's like, if my wife and I were to ever end our relationship for whatever reason, that would be devastating. Like it would be the third great heartbreak of my life, hands down. I would grieve. I mean, it would be devastating. But I'm not afraid of that happening. And here's why. Because I know that I could handle it. I don't want it. I don't wish for it. I get up and work every day to preserve this relationship and protect it and honor it. But I'm not afraid of it ending because I know I could handle it. And if it dead end, I know it would hurt, but I'm not afraid of the pain. You see, I wouldn't be like, oh, it didn't get to me. I got this, fine, whatever. Like, no, I'd be bawling my eyes out like a baby. And I could be okay with that. I could move through it gently. I could take my time with it. I could lean on the support of friends and family around me. I could adventure and explore and do things to, you know, feed my soul and heal. And in time, life would go on. And that is the place that we've all got to get to. It's not about hiding from the pain or protecting ourselves from the pain or saying, I'm never going to hurt ever again. It's about opening our hearts to the full experience of life and being willing to go through all of it. I'm going to read this comment from Lila Mazon. She says, have you ever heard of Nichiren Buddhism? It is so in line with what you were explaining about growing through challenge, about the fact that we are infinite. Wow. I don't know particularly about that sect of Buddhism, but I have studied Buddhism relatively extensively. I practiced at a Buddhist temple for a while, and I honestly couldn't even tell you what sect that temple was. But the teachings and practices of Buddhism have been very powerful in my life. Yeah, and thank you for asking. I'd say this kind of teaching that I'm talking about here is very much Buddhist. It's very yogic. Like yoga would very much talk about a lot of this. I'd say even like the mystic Christians, you know, I think mainstream Christianity has lost a lot of these kinds of teachings. But if you read about like the lives of the saints, like their whole journey was like growth through suffering, right? Like I remember when I first started, it's so funny looking back at this, when I first started working with my therapist, and this was when my wife was going through her cancer treatment. And I said to my therapist, you know, I thought if you were spiritual, things like this weren't supposed to happen to you. And he laughed and he said, have you ever read the lives of the saints? And so it's just funny, but I say all that to say that like, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how spiritual you are. We will all confront challenge in our life, and challenge is a beautiful gift. If you can find it in yourself, the courage to not resist the challenging experiences of life, if you could just take a deep breath and open your heart to it and say, I know this is going to hurt. I know I'm going to struggle. It's scary, right? If you could, I mean, I'm not denying the emotional experience of it. I'm not denying the difficulty of it. But rather than fight with it, if you could just open your heart and take a deep breath and courageously say, I can do this, right? If that person just ghosted you, just deep breath, open your heart. It's okay. They ghosted me. I feel that. Like that's making me question my worth. That's making me question my value. That's making me wonder if I'm ever going to find what I'm looking for. Okay. It's okay. I can be with that. I can be with that. And you just let it be there. And you just move through it. You let that part of yourself that had to hold on and control and fight, no, I will never let anyone do this to me, right? You just let it kind of fall apart. Just let it die. And see what emerges in the absence of that. And if you continually do that, this is my promise. You will grow into a deep, profound sense of self-love. Because you will start to see that every ounce of you is infinitely lovable. So I just want to say thank you so much for being here and tuning in. It really means a lot to me and I appreciate it. I do want to say in closing that for anybody who's going through something right now and you're looking for an environment where you can be supported and where you can heal and where you can work to be the most amazing version of yourself and create the most amazing life that you absolutely deserve to have, the Inspired Love Program is a place where you can do that, and we would absolutely love to welcome you in and support you in creating all of that. So if you're interested, you can click the link below wherever you're listening to this podcast. Apply for the program, get on a call, just find out if it's the right thing for you. Other than that, I just want to say again, thank you so much, everybody, for being here. So much love to you wherever you are. I really do appreciate you tuning in and sharing with your friends, and it really means a lot to me. So thank you so much, everybody. Lots of love and blessings to you, and I'll see you back here next week. Take care. Bye. Thanks again for checking out the show. Please subscribe on whatever platform you listen to podcasts on the most. And I would love it so much if you leave a review and tell people what you think of us. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at The Living Relationship to connect more closely. And I'm grateful to be supporting you on your journey to love.